Good morning. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and as we focus our attention on the Advent time, looking forward to this look at It's a Wonderful Life, and we're going to focus on a couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 9. So let's pray and start off our time together. Father, thank you so much for Christmas. Thank you so much for all that's involved in it, the fact that we can celebrate the birth of your Son. And we're asking now that you would use this time to focus our attention on Jesus Christ, who is mighty to save. So thank you so much for it, and ask you just for a great time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I think you know this about me already. I love Christmas time. It is a beautiful time of the year, and this actually is my favorite movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And was thinking about how to create a series that would focus our attention on our Lord and yet use elements of this film. So looking forward to that together. But just think about the word wonder for a moment. When I was a kid, there were commercials for this, Wonder Bread. Builds strong bodies 8 ways. And as a kid, when I'd see these commercials and I would hear that, I would look at my body and I would go, I want that. I want my life. I want to be strong. I want to be an athlete. I want to be cool. So how can I go about doing this? Well, I can get Wonder Bread, and that would take care of it for me. So that's what I would pester my mom and dad and say, we need to get Wonder Bread. And sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. And, well, the proof is in the pudding. Anyways, as I was thinking about that, the whole idea of wonder, it caused me to reflect on this scene from It's a Wonderful Life. Take a listen as George enters into the drugstore as a young boy.
Wish I had $1 million. Hot dog! It's me, Mr. Gower, George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir.
George. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Violet.
2 cents worth of shoelaces?
She was here first. I'm still thinking.
Shoelaces?
Please, Georgie. I like it.
You like every boy.
What's wrong with that?
Here you are.
Help me down?
Help you down? Made up your mind yet?
I'll take chocolate.
With coconuts?
I don't like coconuts.
You don't like coconuts? Say, Brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from? Look at here. From Tahiti, Fiji Islands, the Coral Sea.
A new magazine. I never saw it before.
Of course you never. Only us explorers can get it. I've been nominated for membership in the National Geographic Society.
Is this the year you plan here on? George Bailey, I'll love you till the day I die.
I'm going out exploring someday. You watch. And I'm going to have a couple of harems. And maybe 3 or 4 wives. Wait and see.
So let me ask you a question. Do you have your life all figured out? I would think that the smartest thing for me to do would be to talk to this wonderful counselor. Look at these verses in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, this is a passage of Scripture that is messianic. It is pointing to the Messiah. And at Christmas time, very often, we focus on these verses because it's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing to think about. And so point number one in our message this morning, Christ is wonderful in his personhood and natures. And I want to, throughout these messages, focus our attention on the Word of God because it makes us realize how wonderful this counselor is. You see, Christ's two natures and his unique personhood are hinted at in these verses. We see that there, that he is unique. He is a wonderful counselor. And as you look at that, you and I need to realize we have someone that we can go to. That's what a counselor is. So this child is born. It refers to Christ's human nature, which is born in time, just as each of us are born. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. And Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And so this is why Jesus did what he did. This is why he took upon flesh. Jesus has existed throughout eternity. He's part of the Godhead. But at some point, the incarnation happened, and that's at Bethlehem. And so that's what we celebrate. And so this son is given, and that refers to the fact that the eternal Son of God was given to us. We see that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So this eternal Word, this Son of God, became flesh. He became a human. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And I love this verse, John 1:14, which says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that Word, where he became flesh and dwelt among us, he tabernacled. He lived with us. He did life with other human beings. He isn't this far off God that is not willing to come alongside us. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asked this question: how did Christ become the Son of God, become man? The answer is this: Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. And so that Hebrew word translated wonderful here is pele, and it implies that Jesus is God. That's the whole idea of wonder, full of wonders. The word that is often used for miracles in the Word of God is he created or he did wonders. And so this word means to marvel, to wonder, wonder extraordinary, hard to understand things, wonder of God's acts. I like how Edward J. Young says this. He says, to designate Christ with the word pele, wonderful, is to make the clearest attestation of his deity. So that's point number one. Point number two, Christ is wonderful in his works. That word pele, used here as a name of Christ, is usually used in the scripture to describe God's miracles. Psalm 78, 12 through 16. In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let him pass through. So think about that. The parting of the Red Sea. That's our wonderful counselor. And made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. And so we see here Moses making water into blood. Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus' miracles were more than Moses, and they were merciful rather than miracles of judgment. Look at this, John 20, verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And then John 14, 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. So these works, these miracles, these wonders were done so that we would focus our attention and realize he is the wonderful counselor. He's the amazing God that we can look to. And so these wonderful works include the work of the cross. You could take the time, and I wish you would, to open your Bible to Isaiah 53 and read through this same prophet that gave this prophecy talking about the coming suffering Savior. Isaiah 53. Take the time to read that. And then 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So point number three, Christ is a wonderful counselor. We should listen to him. We should obey him. And there is a difference sometimes in the punctuation. We see in the New King James, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it says his name will be called Wonderful, comma, Counselor. But if you look at the NASB or you look at the ESV, you see the words Wonderful Counselor put together. And I want you to focus on the fact that as we work through these weeks of Advent, each time there's couplets, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the pattern in these four descriptions of him. So Christ is a wonderful counselor because his counsel is different, it's holy, it's higher, it's above us. Isaiah 55, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the Savior that we have. We see this in parts of Christ's teaching and his counsel because they seem strange to us. At times, the Beatitudes give us an idea of this. Listen to this, because this is so back and forth. It's stuff that when you and I hear it, it just doesn't make sense as first hearing it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These words could be translated this way. Happy are the severely depressed or spiritually bankrupt. Happy are those who are wailing with loud, extremely sad crying. And happy are the meek because they will gain what the aggressive go-getters won't be able to attain. And so these are explanations for each of the Beatitudes. Poor in spirit is having a right evaluation of ourselves, as we have nothing apart from God's grace. Blessed mourning refers to a mourning over sin, as such as a person has a right understanding of sin's destructive nature. And meekness about the earth is consistent with seeking first God's kingdom and setting our affections on things that are above. So Christ is this wonderful counselor because he always tells us the truth, even the hard truth, truth about ourselves, about our sin. Look at this in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, so truth, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, poor, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. And so he tells us truth about ourselves and our sin, but he also tells us truth about how to repent so that we can get right again. Revelation 3:18. I counsel you, so that wonderful counselor again, to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. So he's giving us wisdom on what to do. Earlier he pointed out the true nature of us. But then he says, this is how you get right with me. You get right with me through me. And then you have truth motivated by love. Look at Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. God is constantly calling us back to himself. Yes, you didn't follow my wonderful counsel, but I'm here for you right now. And so at this time of the year, at this most wonderful time of the year, have you not been walking with the Lord? This has been a rough year. This year has hit us all in so many different ways. And I'm asking you, at the end of this year, as this 2020 is wrapping up, that we would be people that would turn to the wonderful counselor, because his truth is motivated by love. He's this wonderful counselor because his words, the word comes with spiritual power. Look at John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Isn't that good news? Isn't that something that you and I can hold on to? Would you today look to the wonderful counselor? And then he says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Christ is a wonderful counselor, and we need to listen and we need to obey. Revelation 3, verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. At a certain point, George Bailey is dealing with something very difficult. He's making observations of what's going on with Mr. Gower. Something isn't right. And so, as a result of that, he needs to have wisdom. And at a certain point, he looks and he sees this sign and it says, ask Dad, he knows. And he makes a beeline toward his father. I'm asking you today, who do you get your counsel from? Is it the wonderful counselor? Can I encourage you today to ask Dad, he knows. It's not just a nice little ad in a store back in the 30s. It's truth for you and me today. He is a wonderful counselor. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your goodness and grace. Thank you so much for this time of the year. And I'm asking you, Lord, as we focus our attention, as we look to you, that, Lord, you would help us, that we would see your hand in these things. And thank you so much for being a wonderful counselor. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.